I love these guys.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Secondhand Lions podcast. I'm here with my good friend John Drennan, and we are starting our second year of the Secondhand Lions podcast. We're so glad you're with us. We're so glad you've stayed with us, those of you who have, throughout the year. And we're getting ready to kick off our second full year, and we're hoping this will be even a better year as John and I both learn more about football and hope you're learning along with us. So one of the things we're going to do to start with is talk about the off season and catch us up on where we stand. John's going to do that.
Well, thanks so much, Bill, and it's great to be starting year two. And so, folks, we've done 52 weeks in a row. So whether you've never listened or you've been a regular, we just appreciate that. And for those that don't know, we started this as two fans, longtime fans, decades of fanship. And we started with the idea of taking the journey with the Detroit Lions to the Super Bowl. Obviously, it didn't happen this last year, but we liked the developments leading into this year. So let me do a quick off-season review. You know, the Lions finished up with that big win over Chicago, so they kept a winning season, 9-8. Then they went into free agency and picked up a haul. Now, they also lost some folks, but a number of significant free agency pickups and a lot of youth and a lot of small contracts, meaning players can come in, prove themselves, and then maybe get a heftier contract. Then we went into the draft, and I think the Lions nailed it this year because they got the right tackle they need. They got an edge guy that hopefully is going to be really good, and they picked up other good capital in the draft. And then, then we're going into camp. So we'll be talking about the training camp. And before we do that, Bill, you know, we're going into training camp with a roster of 90 players. Well, why don't you go ahead and talk about the whole roster process?
Yeah, each NFL team starts the camp with 90-man rosters. Maybe you've heard about this and then you're confused because you know at the end of the training camp and the beginning of the season, the roster is nowhere near that. This is how it works. You start the camp with 90, and throughout the camp, you're making decisions on who stays and who goes. And players are cut usually along the way. Sometimes they're cut before the first preseason game, but then there's usually a cut down that happens after each preseason game. And so the goal is eventually you get to the 53-man roster. Now, what's confusing about that is that only 48 can dress for a particular game. So you have 53 on the roster, 5 are inactive, and 48 dress. Then there are 16 that are allowed to be on what's called the practice squad. It used to be called the taxi squad. That was because the owner used to send a taxi to bring the player to the game if they needed him, but it's now called the practice squad. And the thing about the practice squad, if you're on the practice squad, another team can come in and make an offer to sign you off of another team's practice squad. And the original team, let's say somebody from the Washington football team wants to sign a player off the Lions practice squad, and the Lions don't want that to happen. So they can match the offer, but then they will have to put that player on their regular roster, which of course means they'll have to cut somebody or put them on the practice squad. So at the end, by the time the games start, the first game, you have to be down to 53 players on your active roster. 48 can dress for the game, 5 are inactive, and then there are 16 on the practice squad. Now, we're going to get in a little bit about position battles, and that's how part of this roster is decided. And one thing they have to keep in mind with the roster is the general manager has to determine the best use of the salary cap. So you might want to keep a player A over player B, but player A is getting paid twice as much money as B, and they're close enough that you just decide to keep B to save the money to give you flexibility later. So I think we're going to talk about position battles coming up, and one of the biggest position battles is going to be the tight end. John, why don't you cover that?
Well, before I get into that, this roster information, I didn't understand all this a year ago, but one thing we've done, Bill, you and I have grown through this process. We've always been fans, but never really experts of the intricacies of a lot of parts of the game. And I remember if you've seen the Hard Knocks episode of the Detroit Lions, that was about 4 years ago. It was Aiden Hutchinson's rookie season, and Hard Knocks followed the Lions through training camp. And I remember when they got to the addition of the program where they were making the roster cuts and how hard that was for Dan Campbell and Brad Holmes. I mean, they really agonized about it, but they know it's something they have to do and they do it, but it's really tough and you want it to be tough. You want to feel like, man, we got 90 guys here who could all contribute. So those are tough decisions. And Bill, one other thing I wanted to add to the roster is there's also IR, which stands for injured reserve. These are players that have injuries, but the hope is you'll get them back. But once they're placed on IR, they're not part of the regular roster, they're not part of the practice team, but they are injured reserve. They have to sit out at least 4 regular season games once they're placed on IR. So let's say somebody's got a broken wrist and they feel like it'll be 6 weeks to get that guy back. They'll go on IR. Then there's a distinction called PUP. That stands for player unable to perform, or I'm sorry, physically unable to perform. That's if a player comes into training camp and they can't perform, they're injured. Like Brian Branch this year, he's coming into training camp. He's not going to be ready to play, so he'll be on the PUP list. And again, they have to sit out at least 4 games. And so as we get into the year, we'll be talking more and more about rosters. And so, Bill, speaking of rosters, you talked about the position battles starting with the tight ends. So good news we got this week. Sam Laporta, who hurt his back last year during the Commanders game, I just saw a report. He's coming into camp this week healthy from that back. So he's obviously the lead tight end, one of the best in the NFL. So we got him. Then this year in free agency, we picked up Tyler Conklin, a veteran who's expected to have a position battle with Brock Wright as the number two tight end. And so one of those guys should be number two, one should be number three. And then they have three or four other candidates for tight end. And Bill, I think that's significant because their new offensive coordinator apparently loves tight ends, and they may go into the season with four of them. Typically, it's three. And one of those, Jackson Meeks, we'll talk about a little bit later, but he's one of the potential tight ends. But Bill, let's get into what's another position battle that should be a good one.
Well, just one more thing on the tight end is this is where the salary cap comes in because Brock Wright is, I think, has a cap hit of $4.8 million. Conklin is about half of that. So if it comes down to it's one or the other, Brock Wright could not might not only make the position of being number two, he might get cut altogether. Because it'll save them money and to give them more flexibility down the road. So these guys are battling for their, in some cases, for their professional career. Although Brock Wright could be eligible, certainly to be traded or be picked up by another team. But that's just part of it is if you're getting paid double, you better stand out more than the guy that you're competing with.
And Bill, just a comment. I don't think Brock Wright would outright get cut because there would definitely be teams interested in him, but letting him go to another team could really be a plus for the Lions. Time will tell. So, what's another position group there?
Well, one thing is we're going to be interested to see who becomes the other edge. We have Aiden Hutchinson, who's an all-pro caliber edge rusher, but we've been looking for somebody to step in and give him help on the other side. And so what do we have going on the edge?
Yeah, so first of all, let's look back for a minute. Last year, 2 years, we had Davenport, and he was hurt pretty much both years and just didn't contribute much last year. He's gone. And then they had Muhammad, who had 10 or 11 sacks, but really was not good against the run, so he only played typically on third down. He's gone. But what have we added? Well, we added DJ Wonnum, who is an experienced veteran edge who the Lions feel can start opposite Aiden Hutchinson as a starting edge. However, they also added their number two draft pick at the 44th draft pick, and that's Derek Moore out of Michigan. And Bill, you and I have both talked about how exciting to have two Michigan guys at the edge wreaking havoc. Well, we know that'll happen on Hutch's side. But hopefully that happens as well with Derek Moore on the other side. And by the way, Bill, when you got a great edge on one side, it just makes it easier for the guy on the other side because typically they're double or even triple teaming that great edge. But then we also picked up Peyton, what's his name? In free agency, Peyton Turner, who I believe when he first came in the league was a first round pick, but he's had various injuries. But if he comes back from injury, he's got great potential. But there's two more I want to talk about. Last year, they picked up, I believe, in the sixth round, Hassanine, the Egyptian player who created a lot of excitement, but he got hurt, so he never was available during the season. But he came back bigger, stronger, healthy. So I think he'll have a shot at playing edge, as well an undrafted free agent, last name Lucas, out of Southern California, who they seem very high on, even though he's undrafted. So there is some definite competition at edge. And let's go on, left guard. That's going to be a competition.
So, who do we have at left guard that we're
Yeah, so I'm excited about this one because 2 years ago they brought in Christian Mahogany from Boston College. Didn't play much 2 years ago, was hurt or sick most of the season. Last year, though, he did step in and did pretty well. He stepped in, by the way, at the end of 2 years ago and did pretty well. Last year, he was okay, but again, hurt quite a bit. But he's got a lot of potential. Well, then there's Miles Frazier. They brought him in last year as a rookie, big guy out of LSU, and he was hurt most of the season, but did play some and did fairly well as a rookie. And then they've got Juice Scruggs, who is a veteran that came in the deal where they gave or where David Montgomery went to the Dallas Texans. I'm sorry, the Houston Texans. But we got Juice Scruggs. And he's a potential starting guard and also a backup center. So we'll see where that goes.
Another position battle is going to be linebacker. Of course, we have Jack Campbell and Derek Barnes, who are solid in their positions. But then Malcolm Rodriguez is coming back from an injury, and he had an ACL tear in 2024. And so he's going to be in a battle with some potential like Damone Clark and Jimmy Rolder. And Trevor Nowoski are all vying for playing time, and they'll all get some, but the question is who will be the regular starter? Now, the expectation is that Clark will return to form and he'll get the job, but if he doesn't,
Let me stop you. I think you meant Rodriguez,
yeah, I'm sorry, you're
not
right.
Clark.
Rodriguez is expected to return to form and keep the job. But if he doesn't, he'll have plenty of other linebackers trying to take his place. And that's the thing about the NFL is these guys are all trying to make a 48-man game day roster so they can play and earn their stripes as NFL football players. Now the thing about that is it could be that if you don't get playing time, you get shunted off to the practice squad or you lose your job altogether. And people don't understand that NFL rosters are different than other major sports rosters. For instance, if you sign a contract in Major League Baseball, you are getting paid that contract whether you stink or not. Detroit Tigers are made Framber Valdez the highest paid left-hander in major leagues, and he gave up 6 runs in the first inning yesterday to the Chicago Cubs, excuse me, and looked just terrible. Well, it doesn't matter how bad he is, he's going to get paid for the length of his contract, the millions and millions of dollars they promised him. In the NFL, if you don't do well, they can cut you and you don't get paid anymore, unless you have some part of your salary that's guaranteed, which a lot of these guys don't. So it's they're fighting for their careers on a week-to-week basis, a lot of them.
Bill, I want to add to that because that point is really significant. Think of this. Every player is auditioning every day for a 32-man roster. Because let's say the Lions just, for whatever reason, don't need a player or just aren't liking what they see from a player. That player's still got incentive to just play their best every minute because 31 other teams are potentially looking at them, a team that needs to fill a hole. And so I love that about the NFL because you can never rest. You're always, no matter what team, what the situation, you're always auditioning to make a roster and get a good contract. So, hey, back to the position battles. So we mentioned tight end, edge, left guard, linebacker. Another big one is cornerback. That's a position where Terrion Arnold, who was projected to be a starter this year, is gone from the team. That was related to his off the field activities, and so he's gone. But there's a lot of guys to battle at quarterback. They've got J.D. Reed back, who was brought in last year in free agency as a starting corner, got hurt, but all reports are he's back at health from a hamstring. Then they've got Ennis Rakestraw, they drafted in the second round a couple of years ago. Last 2 years has been hurt, but reports are he's back and stronger and as a second round pick, hopefully can step in and be a starting cornerback. But then they got Rock Ya-Sin, who's been very solid the last couple of years as a number three cornerback. They brought in Roger McCreary, a veteran cornerback, brought him in during free agency. He's a potential game one starter. Then they recruited or they drafted a number five draft pick that a lot of people thought would be a number three or four draft pick, Keith Abney. He's a potential starter at cornerback. And so that's going to be a very interesting position battle to see who the starting cornerbacks are. So those are some of the main battles that are going to be taking place. And remember, in sports, in the NFL, the more competition you've got every day, it's that sharp iron sharpens iron. More competition just leads to better results. So, Bill, there's going to be a lot of iron sharpening iron in Detroit this year.
And that's another point with that is that's why it's so important to have good coaches who are great at evaluating talent because the NFL is full of players that were cut by one team and became superstars for another. One player I'm thinking of in particular, Kurt Warner, was a cast off, and he was picked up by the St. Louis Rams when they were in St. Louis, and he became a Super Bowl winning quarterback. He became the MVP of that season, the MVP in the Super Bowl, went to two more Super Bowls, and is in the Hall of Fame. And the original team that cut him, I'm not recalling who it is right now. I mean, those guys made a huge mistake because you had this tremendous talent and you didn't recognize it and you let him go. And so it's so important to have good talent evaluators at every level. It can't just be the GM or the head coach, it has to be all the position coaches as well. And then they have to make the best decisions they can. And sometimes a really good player will get away and play great for another team. And you think, how did that happen?
Yeah, and Bill, it's also the scouts. They've got scouts that bring these suggestions to the coaches. So you're so right about that. And if I recall, Kurt Warner got drafted in the NFL, but then ended up in the Canadian Football League, where I believe that's where St. Louis
I think
pulled him
he
from.
was in the Arena Football League.
Okay, one or the other. But so here's a guy that went to a secondary league, but then came back and ended up a Hall of Fame NFL player. So, well, hey, Bill, with that, we know there are some big question marks going into this year training camp. And by the way, today is Wednesday, the 22nd. Wait, is that
Yes.
right?
Yep, 22nd of
Oh, boy.
July.
Okay, so July 22nd. So on the 25th, so we're talking Saturday, the rookies report. Then on the 28th, the veterans report. And then the 29th, so I guess that's a week from today, is the first official practice. So here's the thing. What are the biggest questions as we enter this training camp?
Well, one of the questions that I have, John, is the health of our safeties, our Barnes and
Branch.
Branch. I'm sorry, it was Branch and Joseph going to be healthy and ready to go? Because in 2024, I think we had the best set of safeties in the NFC and maybe in the NFL. And injury just decimated that. If they can get back to where they were in 2024, then we're golden at the safety position. But if they don't, we're going to be scrambling. So that's a really big question for me.
Yeah, absolutely huge. And the update on that, Brian Branch is coming back from a torn Achilles. So the typical time frame would have him coming back in November. Maybe it'll be sooner, maybe it won't. And we all need to be patient too. Keep in mind when a guy's been out due to an injury like that, coming back doesn't mean they're coming back at full strength, and it may take a few games to kind of get where you want them. Here's another one, big one, Bill. To me, the pearl they had in the free agency was picking up Cade Mays, the center from the Carolina Panthers. And, he's coming in to anchor that offensive line. That position's so crucial. And people are high on him. He's young, but he's a veteran. He's got a lot of upside, and he's a tough, gritty guy. So the big question mark is, how will he perform? If he comes in and meets expectations, that's great. If he exceeds expectations, look out. So that's a big one.
One of the things we're wondering about is what's going to be the expectation or surprise we're hoping to see in 2026. And John, I know you had a couple.
Yeah, well, this kind of ties too into big question mark, but here's one for me is our new coaches. I am excited about the new offensive coordinator, Drew Petzing. And the more I've learned about him, the more I am excited for him to have his hands on the reins of this powerful offense. But also Mike Kafka, who came in. Mike Kafka, if you don't know, was the offensive coordinator last year for the New York Giants. And when they fired their coach, he took over the last few games of the year as head coach and really did well against the Lions. We were fortunate to beat the Giants. But he comes in with all this experience, and he's now the passing coordinator working with Drew Petzing. So a big kind of thing I've got is a what could be a major factor here is the impact these coaches have with this incredible offense.
Yeah, there's no such thing as too many cooks in the NFL because you want as much expertise and wisdom as possible. And I think it's great that they got a head coach as an assistant coach. So I'm looking forward to seeing how the coaches do. One of the benefits I'm hoping will take place because of the new coaches, especially the offensive coordinator, is to see the Lions return to their great running game in 2024. It's not that their running game was bad last year, it just wasn't the same as it was in 2024. It started off seemingly pretty good. I remember the game against Baltimore. They had two 90-plus yard drives, and that's how you beat a good team, is you keep the ball. You run it down their throat, you tire them out. By the end of the game, by the fourth quarter, you just basically own them. And that's how the Lions went 15-2 in 2024. It's somehow they went 12-5 in 23. And that's why they slipped last year, is because the running game just wasn't as effective. And there's lots of reasons for that. Ben Johnson was gone. We had new offensive coordinator and Johnny Morton, who didn't work out. Dan Campbell took over. That really didn't work out either. And some of it was the players' fault. They've admitted that they kind of were complacent because of how well they'd done the first two or the last 2 years. So my hope is that they will return to the 2024-2023 outstanding running game when they had Sonic and Knuckles. And I think Jahmyr Gibbs might be, I think, is the best back in the league. And Pacheco is going to be his running mate this year. And I'm hoping they'll return to their previous form and really set the pace for the offense this year.
Yeah, and one more factor there that's huge that goes back to the Cade Mays, and that is the offensive line. And that last year, that splintered, and that was a major problem. And when you don't have A, the talent, and B, the chemistry in the offensive line, you're not going to have a good run game. When you have that going for you, you'll have a good run game. When you have that going for you and you have a back like Jahmyr Gibbs, you're going to have a great run game. So that's what we're hopeful for. And two things that are also significant. One, we ended last year without a tight end. Now we had two or three on the roster, but they got low grades. They weren't good blockers. They weren't real threats in the passing game. So your running game is always better when your passing game's a threat. And it's always better when you have a good blocking set of tight ends. And Sam Laporta is a very good blocking tight end. Then the other thing is, we don't know what Pacheco's going to do. Isaiah Pacheco was on the world champion Kansas City Chiefs a couple years ago, played in a Super Bowl, was their lead back, and just ran with fierceness. Well, then he got hurt. By the way, Bill, I feel like we've repeated that hurt about 20 times today. So we got a lot of guys that have been injured. But if he can even get back to 80% of what he was at his best, I think Jahmyr Gibbs and the Lions have a great number two running back right there. Even though we're going to miss David Montgomery, I love that guy.
Yeah, I did too. And another hope or expectation, surprise, whatever you want to call it, is I am really hoping that the Lions can be relatively injury free this year. I know that there will be injuries, there always are, but they've been decimated the last couple of seasons, all the way back to 23, when the defense was decimated, and then they played so well in 24, but then by the end of the year, they were really hurting on defense. And last year it followed up with the same thing with Branch and Joseph, especially being injured. So we're hoping that they can be more injury free this year. And that's why the depth is so important. And we talked about it in a previous podcast that we think this might be the most complete roster that they've ever had under Brad Holmes. And part of that is the depth. You have to be able to have players. If somebody's nicked up a little bit, they can step in and play rather than forcing a guy that's hurt to play and exacerbating their injury. And somebody who might miss a half or a game ends up missing three or four. And then you don't have the depth behind him. You got to have a next man up situation. And that's where your depth comes in. That's where your talent scouts come in. That's where the drafting and the player procurement comes in. And I think the Lions have all of that in place this year better than any year before.
So, Bill, as we start to wrap up, I actually want to put a cherry on top of what you just said because I think there's a collective mindset right now in Allen Park at their practice facility, in Michigan, that the Detroit Lions are going to be awesome this year. I just think they were all collectively disappointed last year. A lot of changes happened, a lot of moves got made, and everything I can tell, and I read a lot and listen to a lot. I want to know what's going on here, but this is a team that's coming in with their jaw set, and they want to win a Super Bowl. And I think they've checked enough boxes that, void of what you just said, Bill, if we don't have the catastrophic injuries, I think this is going to be a team that other teams are not going to want to play. And we know we're going into a season with a weak schedule relative to a year ago, and we know that does make a difference. So we're here together in person, folks, and well, isn't that beautiful? I'm so excited I can't talk. Bill and his wife Tracy came to visit me and my wife Lynn a year ago, and we got talking about the fact that we're always talking about the Lions. What if we do a podcast and let other fans become part of this and learn and grow with us? So we started this 53 weeks ago. And again, now we're starting our second year with week one, our 53rd podcast. And we're doing it here in person as Bill and Tracy are visiting again. So it's kind of special for us to be here together in person and doing this. And so, Bill, next week when we do this, we might delay it a day because camp will have started. We'll be at least one day into the camp.
That's right, the great thing about this is that we are fans from way back in the 60s. So we've been through a lot of heartache and awfulness with the Lions, and we were just so thrilled that they're finally a good football team that we can have these kind of expectations for. And we're looking forward to. And we've never claimed to be experts. We're fans. But we've talked about them enough over the years that we just decided, a lot of the things that we've said were right and turned out to be pretty good advice along the way. So we decided, well, hey, let's just talk about it for everybody and see who else wants to join in with us. Again, we're not experts, but we know a thing or two. And we're hoping that you come along with us and learn a thing or two as well.
And so we welcome you to share our website, which has all of our past episodes and information about us. And that website is the THESHL for secondhandlionspodcast.com. So the SHLpodcast.com. And if you're on Spotify or Apple or Amazon, you can leave a comment. We hope, you'll go ahead and share us with other folks. We got a lot of listeners. It's growing. We've got a lot of regulars, and we're looking forward to this year too. Bill, I always say the first is the worst. So our first year was our worst year, but now we're in our second year. So with that, I'm signing off. John Drennan here and my partner.
Bill Radford, hope you guys have a great week.
Bye for now.